Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Welcome to the RTC Weekly Download. Thanks for being here. Our first show features Frank Sinatra, but he's not singing, and it's not a comedy. Frank Sinatra played an adventurer named Rocky Fortune. And here's an example, the Boarding House Double Cross from 1954.
Frank Sinatra, transcribed as Rocky Fortune. Frank Sinatra, starring as that footloose and fancy-free young gentleman, Rocky Fortune.
Hi, did I ever tell you about the time I decided to give up my place on Bleakman Street and find a new room? Oh, not that the place was bad, but when they started using my mailbox as a numbers drop, I decided it was time to find a new pad, which I did. The only trouble was the landlady. She wanted to collect the first month's rent in blood. And when I objected, her superintendent tried to terminate my lease on life. Hello? Anybody home? Hey, where's the management?
Right behind you. Put up your hands.
What is this?
You tell me, bright boy.
I'm looking for a room.
What brought you here?
The sign in the window that says room for rent. Now, would you mind pointing that horse pistol the other way?
What's your name?
Julius LaRosa. What's yours?
You a wise guy?
Listen, Sammy, put down the artillery and let's get the...
Who is it, Lenny?
This joke was wandering around inside, Ma.
The door was open, the sign said room for rent, so I came in.
You want to rent a room.
That's the general idea, Ma.
Put away the gun, Lenny.
Ma, how do you know who this character is?
Put it away.
Thanks, Ma.
We've been having trouble with thieves lately. Lenny thought maybe you was one.
Well, I'm glad you protect your guests. Do you have a room?
We got one vacancy on this floor, third door down.
Can I see it?
This way. $5 a week. In advance.
This is a peachy view of the garbage bin.
Take it or leave it.
Well, I'd like to leave it, but I need a flop until I can locate an apartment. I'll take it.
Five.
Wait till I get the vault open, will you? One, two, three, four, five.
No heavy drinking in the rooms. Keep off the second floor. That's where me and Lenny live.
It's a deal. You keep off my floor, and I'll keep off yours.
I ain't joking, mister. You set foot on those stairs, and Lenny's liable to lose his temper. When Lenny loses his temper, he's liable to do anything. Anything. Well, welcome to 55 Bishop Street. My name's Thompson. You call me Ma.
That's touching.
If you go out at night, be careful. This is a tough neighborhood.
I come from a pretty tough neighborhood.
This ain't pretty tough. It's real tough.
Oops. I park my duffel and flop down on the mattress, which is a cross between a sack of cement and the Aberdeen Proving Grounds for light, medium, and heavy tanks. No sooner do I close my eyes than the door opens. In walks a little bald-headed guy about 40 wearing rimless glasses. A Casper Milk Toast if I ever seen one, and I seen several.
What are you doing here?
What do I look like I'm doing? Playing Scrabble? Do you believe in knocking?
Get out of this room.
Oh, you've got to get a little bigger before you talk like that to a full-grown man, Buster.
Where are my things? Where's Helen?
I ain't seen your things. And the only Helen I know is Helen of Troy, and she moved to Utica about 3 years ago.
Oh, very funny.
I didn't think it was that good.
It wasn't. Now, see here. I want you out of our room, and I demand to know
something
where...
Something wrong, Mr. Fortune.
This billiard head keeps acting like somebody's in the wrong department.
Mrs. Thompson, what is this man doing in my room?
Who are you?
Who am I? Why, I'm Gerald Kinsey. My wife Helen and I have had this room for a week now.
Mister, you're nuts. I ain't never seen you in my life.
Never seen me? I paid you a week's rent this morning. My wife Helen was...
I don't know anybody named Helen except Helen of Troy, and she...
He knows.
Come on, Horace. Get out of here.
Oh, are you all out of your minds? What is this?
You heard me, Homer. Vanish.
I demand my wife. I demand...
You demand a belt and a mouth if you don't beat it.
I will now. I'll...
Something wrong, Ma.
We got a stray bedbug. He thinks he lives here.
Lenny! You remember me? Gerald Kinsey. My wife Helen and I were...
What are you talking about, Ma?
Lenny!
Look, Zeke. You got the wrong house, maybe, huh?
Wrong house? Why, this is 55 Bishop Street, room one. My wife and I were...
Lenny, show him the door.
Let's go.
I will not go. I demand my wife. I demand
out
my wife.
One, two, and away we go.
Take your hands off of me and I'll...
You'll nothing. Now get out. And if you come back here, I'll kill you, understand? I'll break every bone in your body. Ow! Ow!
I watched Lenny give Gerald a bicep like he was a sack of old feathers, and then I start to unpack. Inside the dresser drawer, I spot a cufflink with the monogrammed initials GK on it. Also, there was some spilled face powder. I put the cufflink in my pocket and lie down on my bed to think things over. I'm just starting to doze off when I hear a sound at the window. So I make like I'm asleep, and I wait. A second later, Gerald slips into the room with a medium-sized paving stone in his mitt. He tiptoes over to the bed and gets ready to drop the concrete on my skull as I mousetrap him.
Hold it. Drop it. Come on, drop it.
Ouch, my arm. You're breaking it.
Drop the Mickey. Now sit down.
Oh, please.
You better start talking, sonny. I'm going to get rough, too.
Who are you?
My name's Rocky Fortune. I just rented this room. They forgot to tell me it was an outpatient clinic for Bellevue.
You're not with them?
With who? I'm not with anybody.
Then you've got to help me.
Give me one convincing reason.
Listen, you've got to believe me, mister. For the past 3 days, my wife and I have lived in this room. This morning, I went out to look for a job. When I came back just now, they rented the room to you. They're just pretending they never saw me. They've done something to my wife. I know they have.
Why should they?
I don't know. They may be in some shady business or something. Maybe she found out about it. But, oh, please, you must believe me.
Hold it. Your initials are GK, aren't they?
Why, yes. Gerald Kinsey.
You ever see this cufflink?
Why, that's the one I lost. Helen and I looked all over for it.
It was under the shelving paper and some newspaper in the dresser.
But that should prove I lived here.
It's enough to go on, Gerald.
You see, the whole thing is a plot to...
Shh.
Huh? Fortune!
Just a minute. Look, you better use the emergency exit. Out the window. If Nature Boy finds you in here, he'll take you apart like a jigsaw puzzle.
What'll I do?
I got a friend who's a cop. 21st Precinct, Sergeant Finger.
Huh?
Tell him I sent you and bring him back here quick.
Open it up!
Now, beat it. Remember, Finger, Sergeant Hamilton J. Finger.
I thought I heard somebody talking in there.
Talking? Oh, that was me. I always talk to myself.
Oh, that's a bad habit.
I never listen to it.
Huh. That's a good one. It'll keep you out of trouble.
What kind of trouble did you have in mind?
The kind where they bury you. Remember it.
Lenny goes upstairs, and I settle down to wait for Gerald and the gendarmes. After a couple of minutes, I hear the steps creak. I crack the door in time to see Grandma carrying a brown paper bag to the back of the hall. She takes maybe two steps and stops.
You're liable to get your nose caught in the crack of that door, Mr. Fortune.
I could spare a little.
We like the boarder to keep the door closed.
Gee, you and Lenny are a couple of real trusting souls, ain't you?
I told you we've been having sneak thieves.
Can I help you with that paper bag?
Just going out back to put the garbage out. I can manage.
Just trying to be friendly.
Try it with the door closed.
Sure, Ma.
Hello?
hear Ma go out the back door with a bag of garbage. After about 20 minutes, I hear her close the door and go up the steps again. I figure either she went all the way to the city disposal plant with that stuff, or it wasn't a bag of garbage. After things quiet down, I tiptoe down the hall and open the back door. There's a small yard with a high concrete wall. It's filled with broken bottles, old almanacs, and other valuable stuff. At one end is a small wooden shed big enough for a half a dozen garbage cans with a cheap padlock on the outside. Just in a hunch, I go over to the shed and knock. Anybody home? Now, why would anybody want to put a padlock on the garbage? Anybody here beside you chickens? Okay, we'll just do a little lock picking and have a look. Well, don't tell me the housing authority has this place listed as an apartment. You're Helen, right?
Who are you?
My name's Rocky Fortune. How does that guy rate a knockout like you?
Are you working for Gerald?
More or less. He and I seem to share a room.
Listen, you've got to help me.
Maybe we better close the door, just in case Lenny decides to check on his guests. Why have they got you locked up here?
I don't know. Ma and the big one, Lenny, they must have drugged me or something. You got to tell that to Gerald. They locked me out here. They told me they'd kill me if I made a sound. No kidding, mister.
What are you so scared of me for?
You tell Gerald. I wouldn't want him to think I left him on my own or anything. You know how he gets.
You have been drugged. Now, take it easy, kid. We'll have you out of here in no time, as soon as I figure out a way.
Believe me, don't you? I didn't run away from Gerald. Honest, I didn't.
Did you want to?
We had a big fight this morning. But I didn't mean what I said. It's those people, Ma and Lenny. They put me out here.
All right, come on, let's get out of here. The fragrance from these garbage cans is a little bit too much. Uh-oh.
What is it?
That was the back door to the house. Here comes Lenny and Grandma.
You'd better hide.
Where, in my pocket?
The garbage can.
Smart girl. Okay, put the lid on.
Hey, turn on the air conditioning, will you?
I'm feeling a little bit like a rotten pimento in an undersized olive when it dawns on me that Lenny's going to notice that the lock has been opened. He does.
We out here, Ma?
I just brought her some food.
The lock is open.
I locked it.
It didn't open itself. You've got to be careful.
I told you I locked it.
We better go in.
Food okay, dearie?
Yes.
You better finish it. We're getting you out of here in about 15 minutes.
Out?
Your husband was snooping around. Things might get a little too hot.
Where will you take me?
Oh, I know a nice quiet spot where nobody will look in a million years. I got to borrow a car. As soon as I get it, we move out. Come on, Ma.
You better take the full garbage cans out front for the collection, Lenny.
What's today?
Tuesday. We got a load of stuff.
Okay.
I'll stay here and watch Mrs. Kinsey.
Here's the gun. I'll just throw this one out first. What you got in here, old lead?
For a couple of minutes, I die while Big Lenny rolls me out to the front of the house to be picked up by a gent from the sanitation department. As I feel myself lifted into the truck, I decide I'll keep quiet till Lenny gets back to the house. It's then that I hear the machine that grinds the stuff.
Okay, Charlie, toss up that next can. What's the matter, Charlie? You forget to eat your crispy crunchies? Come on, let's have it.
Hey, I see what you mean. Now, let's get the cover off this one and take a look. Hey!
Pardon me, Sam. Is this the subway to Jackson Heights?
What are you doing in that can?
Can? Holy mackerel, I thought I was in a subway car. Give me a hand, will you, Sam?
Yeah, sure. Are you nuts, Buster?
I guess I am, Sam. Would anybody in his right mind get into a garbage can by mistake? I'll see you around. I shake a few breadcrumbs out of my hair and climb off the truck. I sneak back into the house and make for my room. I get there and hear voices inside.
I told you to stay away from here.
I want my wife, Lenny, and I'll kill you if you don't tell me where she's hiding.
Go ahead. Pull the trigger. You haven't got the guts to kill anybody.
It won't be the first time.
It may be the last.
Let go of my throat. Rocky, hit him.
A pleasure, pal.
Is he out?
Like a busted street lamp.
I guess you saved my life.
How come you didn't get the cops?
I got a gun instead. I was determined I'd handle it myself.
Somehow you just don't seem the type. Anyway, I located your ever-loving wife.
Helen? Where?
They got her stashed in a wooden garbage shed in the back.
No, I'll get her.
You stay here and keep the gun on Loverboy in case he recovers from that belt I gave him.
Oh.
I'll get Helen.
Okay. Maybe that's best.
And keep an eye out for Ma. I don't think she's going to like us. I leave Gerald and Lenny in my room and slip on my way out to the shed. I do another hairpin job on the lock and open it up. Helen's sitting on a stack of old newspapers waiting. Helen?
Rocky, you all right?
Yeah, except for a slight tinge of city dump number 5. You ready to get out of the shoebox?
Yes, but what about Lenny?
Lenny's in on his face in my room, and your husband's holding a heater on him.
Gerald? Is here?
Uh-huh.
I see. Puts a slightly different color on things.
You don't look very happy.
I'm not.
What's wrong?
It's none of your business.
Now, look, baby, I almost got myself bumped off getting you out of this trap. Now, level with me.
I'll level, Rocky. But at you, not with you. Get him up.
What is this? Kill Fortune Day in Brooklyn? Where did you get the artillery?
I had it.
I don't get it.
You will. Turn around.
So, you ain't exactly the damsel in distress I figured you for.
Look, button brain. For reasons of my own, I'm not interested in meeting my dear husband right now. I told Ma and Lenny that he was an escaped convict holding me prisoner. I talked them into hiding me out here and pretending they'd never seen me.
How did you manage that?
Little money can make people do very noble things. No more talk now. This won't hurt a bit. I'll just...
Hold it, Helen! Drop the gun! You keep away from it, Fortune. Okay. Ma, into the shed.
You can't do this. Lenny needs a doctor.
I'm doing it. Lenny will come to in an hour or so. I just kick him once or twice.
Oh, you're a nice kid.
We're even, Fortune. You saved me. I saved you.
Shall we dance?
The only ones who are going to dance are me and my sweet little double-crossing wife.
Gerald, I swear I didn't double-cross you. The old woman and her son, they found out about the jewels. They locked me out here and tried to make me give them up.
That's a lie. You told us your husband took dope and beat you. You asked us to help you get away from him.
That sounds more like my little girl.
She's lying, Gerald. They kidnapped me.
Sure, sure. Where's the stuff?
I hid it.
I'll bet you did. Well, find it.
It's in the ash can. Here.
Is this all the stuff from the Rensselaer job?
It's all there, Gerald.
It better be. Because you and I are going for a little journey. And you know how it upsets me when somebody tries to pull a fast one on me.
It's all there.
Okay, Fortune. You and Ma, here are lucky. I'm going to give you a chance to stay alive for a while longer. Because you've been so good. Come on, baby. We're going.
You ain't going anyplace, mister.
Well, look who woke up. Step aside, big boy.
Not till I finished that little job on you did I start it a while back.
Lenny, don't do it. She isn't worth it. It was a trick. They're both thieves.
I ain't interested in what they are and what they ain't. I'm going to take your pot, Baldy, and then I'm going to work on your pal here.
I warn you, Lenny. I'll shoot you.
You don't scare me.
Lenny, don't. Please, mister, he's still groggy. He don't know what he's doing.
Tell him to step aside.
Lenny, don't do it.
Going to give you something to remember.
Lenny!
Keep away from him, Ma.
Now you're a murderer, too, or isn't that news?
Shut up. Helen, take Ma into the house and lock her in a cellar.
What are you going to do?
Never mind that. Get going. Somebody might have heard those shots.
Come on, Ma. Jerry, there's a cop standing out at the end of the alley.
Is he coming?
No, he's just looking around.
He heard the shots. Hurry up, get going.
Let's go.
Then don't try anything. I got 50 grand worth of stuff here.
I won't.
Okay, Fortune. Help me get this stiff into one of those empty cans.
Suppose I don't.
I'll kill you.
I'll help.
Ready? Now. Now, put the cover on.
Hello?
Shut up.
Anybody in that shed?
Climb into that other can.
Now, listen.
I said climb in. One peep, and I'll let you have it.
Anything you say.
Now, get down. I'm going to put the cover on.
Now, listen.
Do what I say.
Okay, okay.
Anybody in here?
Oh, hello, officer.
Oh? I thought
thought I heard somebody in here.
Oh, I live here. I just came out to take the garbage cans out front.
Oh? You didn't happen to hear a sound like a couple of shots a minute ago, did you?
Shots? I was rattling these garbage cans so that I couldn't even hear you come down the alley.
Funny. I thought sure they came from behind the house. See, you're a small man to be handling those heavy cans. Here, let me help you roll them out in front.
Oh, that's all right, officer. I can manage them.
Nonsense. I hate to see a man hurt himself. I was out of work for 3 months myself once, lifting a car off a dead body.
What, you don't say.
Here, I'll wrestle this one for you.
Oh,
my Thompson must do some heavy baking. Well, here goes.
So there I am again, headed for the city dump. I'm afraid to open my app because I don't know whether Gerald has his cannon pointed at me or not, so I figure I'll let him roll me out to the sidewalk before I make my move. By the time I reach the street, I'm so dizzy I feel like I've been in somebody's mixer with the dial set at heavy whip.
Oh, thanks, officer. You can just leave them right here. Oh, looks like we missed the morning pickup anyway.
Yeah, there's an empty one here. Well, I'll just be moving along.
Oh, thanks a lot. You're a real lifesaver.
I hate to see a man strain himself. I was... Well, you're in luck. Here comes the garbage truck back from his run. I'll just stop him.
Oh, no. There's no need for that.
Since he's an old pal of mine. Hey, Hennessy! Hey!
What's the... Well, if it ain't New York's finest officer, Clarence Kilcannon.
Hey, Hank, do us a favor, will you? Maud Thompson missed the morning pickup, and she's got a couple of cans loaded to the brim. Would you dump them out?
Thompson, huh? Say, you know, I was emptying one of her cans this morning, and a live character steps out and asks me if this is the subway?
Sure, and you're pulling my leg.
May I never take another breath if it ain't true.
Another drop would be more fitting here now.
Hey, Charlie... Give the officer a hand with those. I wouldn't want him to strain himself.
Up we go.
And off with the lid. Oh, no.
Top of the can to you.
What the... Hey, mister. Hey, come back.
Officer, grab him. There's a corpse in that other can.
Hey, come back. Come back or I'll shoot.
Oh, my arm.
Stand still. It's just a scratch. Now, what's this about?
He shot Mrs. Thompson's son. The body's in the other can.
Officer, it's a lie.
Yeah, well, we'll just go back and have a look. Hey, wait a minute.
What is it?
I know you from someplace.
The lineup, maybe?
Lineup? By Godfrey, there's an APB out for this character. Gerald Kent, alias Kinsey, alias Kinoy. Wanted for the Rensselaer jewels theft with a woman named Norma Lynn.
That's the boy. His wife's inside the house.
Well, we'll just go in and see about that.
Hey, Kev Cannon! What do you want me to do about the garbage?
Stick around, Hennessy. We'll be out in a minute with two cans full. And you can dump them off at the city jail.
NBC has presented Frank Sinatra as that footloose and fancy-free young gentleman, Rocky Fortune. Others in tonight's cast include Frank Richards, Gloria Ann Simpson, Jim Eagles, Virginia Gregg, Eddie Fields, and Maurice Hart. Tonight's script was written by George Lefferts. Andrew C. Love directed. Here is a question. What is the top speed you can safely drive after dark if you have to rely on your own headlights to show up danger? The answer, according to the National Safety Council, is 45 miles per hour. If you exceed 45, you're driving beyond the visibility limit of your headlights. Keep plenty of distance between yourself and the car ahead. The secret of safe driving is simply to use common sense. Take your time, not your life. Tonight, enjoy Fibber McGee and Molly on the NBC Radio Network.
Now it's off to the 19th century Dodge City for an episode of Gunsmoke. This episode is called The Old Fool, and it's late in the series, July 7th, 1960.
Ah! Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful. And a little lonely.
Oh, you finished breakfast?
Yeah, but sit down. Have some coffee with me.
Thank you. Thank you.
To what do I owe this honor?
Eh?
Why aren't you having breakfast with Matt or Chester?
Well, I would, but they're out of town.
Well, that's flattering.
Oh, no, Kitty.
Where are they?
Oh, they went fishing. They left last night. Said they'd be back this morning sometime.
Well, you should have gone with him. Didn't I invite you?
Yes, but I couldn't go. I promised old man Bass I'd have some powders ready for him last night when he came into town.
Old man Bass? Who's he?
Oh, I don't think you know him, Kitty. He lives out near the old Barton place. It was just him and his wife. They don't come into town very often. Oh, they're nice people. Oh, salt of the earth.
More coffee?
Don't mind if I do. Thank you. That's good. Thank you. Yes, Hannibal and Della Bass are quite a couple. They've been married about 45 years. Fine people.
You selling marriage, Doc?
There's nothing wrong with it, is there?
I don't know. Never had much chance to find out.
You're not telling me you've never been asked.
Yeah, I've been asked, all right.
But not by the right person?
Maybe that's it. Look, this is pretty heavy talk for 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I guess it is at that.
Let's get back to, what were their names?
Bass. Hannibal and Della Bass. Oh, you'd like them, Kitty. I tell you what, I'll take you out there one of these days, huh?
I'd like that.
Good, then we'll go. Yeah.
What's the matter, Doc?
You know, I was just thinking about those powders I made up for Hannibal. I'm afraid I might have leaned a little heavy on the soda.
Well, that won't hurt him, will it?
Oh, no, it won't hurt him. Of course, he might feel a little bubbly for a day or so. But...
Come on, Doc. Take your coffee.
Bubbly.
Heard you come back from Dodge last night, Hannibal. Didn't figure you'd be up in time to do the chores, late as it was. Here you are.
Oh, thank you, Della. I ain't missed doing the chores in 20 years.
You didn't get to bed till past 10. Did you get your powders from Doc Adams?
Yeah, I got them. Funny thing, ever since I started taking them, I felt kind of bubbly.
That's good, ain't it? I mean, that's what them powders are for.
Sure, that's what them powders are for. He's a good doctor, that Adams fella. Hey, well...
Sounds like one of the shoots got himself caught up.
Could be, or could be a wolf.
Shotgun's loaded. It's right behind the door there.
I got it. We'll see you later. All right, hold on there.
Don't you, mister, don't you...
Stealing pigs, huh?
Please, mister.
I'll put him back. And easy. Now, young fella, I reckon I got the right to shoot you.
Hannibal, what's going on here?
I caught me a pig thief, and I aim to shoot him.
You do no such thing. Who are you, son? Ain't seen you around here before.
We're Nestor people about 20 miles north of here.
Huh? What's your name?
Dunch Hezpeth.
Suppose your whole family's out marauding through the countryside instead of working and making out honest.
Now, leave him be, Hannibal. Poor boy's half-starved.
Ah, he ain't no boy. Nothing gives him the right to steal my pigs.
Well, I'd have paid you back sometime when we were making out better, maybe.
Thieving ain't no way to make out for no man.
Hannibal, you hitch up the wagon, take this boy home. You tell his people what he done, they'll punish him.
His people's any good, they'd have brought him up right to begin with.
Well, you take him out there and you see.
Oh, I swear, Della, you're treating him like he was candy.
You do what I say, Hannibal. You take him home.
Well, all right. You know something, boy? You was mighty lucky she come out when she did. All right, let's get walking.
And now here are Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Say, Charlie, isn't that your French girlfriend coming into the service department?
Yeah, Bergen, isn't she a doll?
Pardonnez-moi, monsieur. I don't wish to bother you.
Oh, think nothing of it. Beautiful women always bother me.
It is my automobile. She has a squeak.
Oh, poor thing. It probably needs one of our quality guardian maintenance lubrications.
Fantastic. How did you know that?
Specialized training, ma'am.
Specialized training?
Oui. The servicemen at all Chevrolet, Pontiac, Oldsmobile, Buick, Cadillac, Chevy, and GMC truck dealers get special training. That's what makes them guardian maintenance servicemen. They're trained to know your GM product best.
You are so wonderful. Oh, I must kiss you.
Gladly.
Oh, la. How did you learn to kiss like that?
Specialized training, ma'am.
This ain't much of a place you got here, Dunk.
Oh, it's poor, but we only been here a month.
Well, it won't improve by itself, you know.
Ma? Hey, Ma, we got company.
Who is it, Dunk?
This here's Hannibal Bass, Ma.
How do you do?
Oh, ma'am. Is your husband around?
He's been dead 5 years. What is it you want, Mr. Bass?
Well, I brung Dunk home so's his pa could whup him for stealing pigs.
Dunk.
Well, I didn't figure he'd miss one little old pig.
Oh, I'd rather starve than have my boy thief.
No, Ma.
Things ain't gone too well with us, Mr. Bass. It's hard being a widow woman. All alone. Poor. Oh,
well, I didn't know you was a widow woman.
That's what I am.
Boy, why didn't you tell me about this?
All you wanted to do was shoot me.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, I wasn't going to shoot him. I just wanted to scare him.
Oh, well, you could still have the law down on him,
no,
though.
No, I don't have to do that. Maybe he's learned his lesson.
No, you're a good man, Mr. Bass, and kind. I could see that right off.
Well, yeah, I ain't one to hold grudges. I'm just trying to be fair.
Oh, what a shame there ain't more men around like you. He's a real gentleman, ain't he, Dunk?
You ought to see their place, Ma. You wouldn't believe it.
Nice, huh?
Oh, I worked hard on that place.
Mr. Bass, won't you stay for a cup of chicory?
Oh, well, I... No, thank you, but I'd better be getting back.
Mr. Bass... If you're ever through this way again, we'd be proud to have you drop in.
Oh, well, thank you, ma'am. Yes, I'll do that.
Oh, it gets awful lonesome out here, especially for a woman.
Oh, yes, ma'am, it surely must. Well, goodbye.
Bye, Mr. Bass.
Ma'am? Dunk?
You sure calmed him down, Ma. Yeah, I think he's forgot about the pigs.
Yeah. And he'll be back.
Hello there, Mr. Bass.
for you, Dunk.
For me?
Yeah, you and your ma.
This is for us, all the stuff in the wagon?
All for you. Now, where's your ma?
The inside, pretty enough. We seen you coming.
She didn't have to go to no fuss.
She said you'd be back.
Oh, huh. Did she?
I told her what a fine place you got. The house and the barn and all.
Oh, Mr. Bass.
Ma, look what he brung.
Oh, now, Mr. Bass, you shouldn't have done that.
Nothing, ma'am.
My gracious, my... Oh, my goodness gracious, my... Oh, we couldn't accept all that.
Just a few little things.
A few little things. Chickens and pigs and corn and coffee and... Oh, goodness knows what all.
Well, the way I figured, them that's more fortunate ought to share what they got.
You're too good.
I'm just doing what I see is right, like I told Della when I loaded up this morning.
Oh, you're a fine man.
Maybe I should start unloading.
Oh, look at there. Pure coffee.
Yeah.
Why, we ain't had coffee in over a month. Oh, my. You've sure made us happy today, Mr. Bass. Now, you come on in the house and... I'll fix you, Cut.
Oh, well, there ain't hardly time.
Oh, please stay. It'd be good to talk to someone. I need a man to talk with, Mr. Bass.
Now, just for a little while, and maybe...
You get that stuff unloaded now, Duncan. We'll be inside.
Okay, Ma.
Mr. Bass, you've got to remember we ain't very fancy here. But it's what's in the heart that counts. You come along now.
Oh, Gondella, where are all my shirts? I can't find a one.
There's plenty in the bedroom.
Not good ones.
Your good ones is all dirty, Hannibal.
Ah, doggone it, anyway.
You're forgetting we had 6 Sundays this past 2 weeks.
What?
The way you've been dressing.
Well, what's wrong with a man cleaning up once in a while?
Nothing at all.
You know, you're getting mighty sour, Della. You're always on me about something.
Oh, well, no.
Matter of fact, I don't know as I ever pleased you. Not from the day we got married. I don't think I could ever please you.
Don't you try to turn this around on me, Hannibal Bass.
No, oh, you just don't understand me, Della. You never did.
That's it. That's what I've been waiting to hear you say.
What?
I bet the Widow Hedgepeth understands you fine, don't she? I bet she even told you she did.
Now, you leave her out.
Not likely I'll leave her out. Hannibal, I've been mighty patient with you these past 2 weeks. But my patience is gone.
Well, so is mine. I'm through, Della.
Through?
I'm going to marry Elsie Hedgepeth.
Why, you old fool.
Now, don't you call me that.
You poor old
fool. Now, Della...
I love you, Hannibal. I always have. But my gracious, you can be ignorant.
Oh, I don't have to stay here and listen to this.
Yes, you do. Don't you budge out of this house.
Why not? What are you going
to
do?
I'm going over to talk to Elsie Hedgepeth.
Your what?
That woman may be too smart for you, Hannibal, but she ain't too smart
for
me.
You look here. I won't stand for
you
this.
You'll stand for it, all right. There ain't nothing else you can do.
You're just going to make a fool out of yourself.
We'll see who the fool is. Hello? Anybody home?
Yes.
You Elsie Hedgepeth?
That's right.
I'm Mrs. Hannibal Bass.
Yeah, I kind of figured that. You gonna get down out of that wagon?
I'll say what I have to say from here.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to see what a husband stealer looks like.
I ain't stole your husband.
No, and you ain't going to. Not that you ain't trying.
He's a growed man. He can do what he wants.
You're a bigger fool than he is.
Is that all you come here to say?
I've been married to Hannibal Bass for 45 years. And I've loved him that long, too. I ain't about to quit now.
Well, maybe you ain't got much choice. I bet Hannibal told you he's going to marry me.
He also told me I didn't understand him.
Well, that's sure true enough.
Mrs. Hedgepath, I didn't come here to ask nothing of you. I came here to tell you something.
Go ahead. Talk all you want. It won't change nothing.
You don't want my husband. All you want is his house and his worldly goods. You admit that?
I ain't saying nothing.
Well, I want him, and I don't care if he's rich or poor. Now, there's a difference there, ain't there?
You're just jealous because you can't hold him no more.
All right. There ain't no use talking to you. I'm going to have to show you.
Here, now. What are you doing? You put down that rifle.
Maybe you'll understand this.
You murderer! You shot the heel off of my shoe.
Maybe you understand
now. Don't shoot! Don't shoot again!
Next time it won't be your heel. You think about that, Widow Hedgepath.
That's peaceful enough looking, ain't it?
Yeah, from here anyway.
You reckon that's her standing out there?
Yeah, must be. Come on. This the Hannibal Bass place, ma'am?
It is.
And then you must be Ms. Bass.
That's right.
Well, I'm Marshal Dillon from Dodge. You mind if we get on?
You're welcome, Marshal.
Thank you. This is Chester Proudfoot, Miss Bass.
How do?
Proud to have you here, both of you. Come inside and I'll fix you some coffee.
Well, I think I better tell you what we came here for first.
Oh? Hannibal ain't in some sort of trouble, is he?
No, ma'am. I'm afraid you are.
Me?
Judge Blint issued a warrant for you. The complaint says you tried to shoot a Ms. Hedgepath. Oh.
That. Marshal, I'm too good a shot to try and shoot somebody.
Well, you sure convinced her. She rode all the way to Dodge to tell the judge about it.
Did she say anything to him about how she's been trying to steal my husband? To run off with him?
No, ma'am.
Well, she is. Now, if you'll excuse me, I've got to get this milk inside out of the sun.
Can I help you, ma'am?
Oh, thank you. I can manage.
How can you let her go like that, Miss Dillon? She'll most likely be back out of that house with a gun.
I don't think so.
Well, why on earth not? She's a pretty strong-minded lady.
Yeah, but I don't think she's a murderer. Maybe the judge got taken in by that Ms. Hedgepath a little bit.
Here she comes.
Miss Bass, where's your husband?
Over to the widow woman's. Like he's been every day lately.
Oh, I see.
Marshal, let me tell you something. This is a good farm. Took Hannibal and me a long time. And a lot of hard work to get that house and barn up. 5 years, in fact.
If you got some good stock out here, too. Hogs and all.
We do, for a fact. And that's why the Widow Hedgepath is after Hannibal. This place... She wants it.
But it's still against the law to go around shooting at people, ma'am.
I guess you're right. It don't seem to have made no difference anyway. I just wish there was some way to bring Hannibal to his senses.
Miss Bass, you said your husband was over at the Hedgepath place, huh?
Yes.
How do you get there?
Straight north. Just follow the trail you come here on. Why?
Maybe Chester and I'll ride up there. I'd like to have a talk with your husband.
That's kind of you, Marshal. But it won't do no good.
Oh, we'll try, anyway.
He's going to marry that woman, Marshal. And so far, I haven't been able to think of a thing to stop it.
Well, let's see what we can do, Miss Bass. We'll see you later. Must be Hannibal Bass sitting on the stoop there.
Looks kind of like an old turkey, don't he?
I wouldn't let him hear you say that. Hello?
Hello?
You Hannibal Bass?
Yeah. How'd you know my name?
Who are you talking to, Hannibal?
I'm Marshal Dillon, Miss Hedgepeth.
Oh, from Dodge. Well, I'm afraid you come to the wrong place, Marshal. You must have rode right by the Bass Farm.
What are you talking about? What is this?
I went into Dodge the other day, Hannibal, and I got the judge to issue a warrant for her arrest.
Whose arrest?
Your wife, Della. You didn't expect me to do nothing about her trying to murder me, did you?
You ain't going to put Della in jail, are you, Marshal?
No, I'm not.
What's this all about?
Well, I'll make this real simple, Mr. Bass. This business has gone far enough. It's got to stop before somebody gets hurt. Now, you're coming back to your place with me right now.
Oh, no, he ain't, Marshal. He's staying right here.
You're going along, too, Miss Hedgepeth.
What?
And once we get there, everybody's going to lay their cards on the table, and I'm going to be there to see that they do. Now, let's get ready.
I ain't going alone. I'm going to take my boy, Dunk.
I don't care who you take, but we're starting back as soon as you get your team hitched. Now, let's get going.
You know, Bass place will be right around that bend, Mr. Dillon.
Uh-huh.
It'll be good to get in out of this hot spot. Looky there.
Yeah, I see it.
Burnt to the ground, the whole place.
Come on.
Hello there, Marshal Dillon.
What happened here? You all right?
I'm fine, Marshal. That Hannibal coming?
Yes, they're right behind us in the wagon.
Good.
But your house and the barn, how did it happen? Both of them at the same time? I swear I don't understand it.
I think I do, Chester. Just wait.
Della!
Evening, Hannibal.
Oh, Della!
You brought her home a little too late, didn't you?
I didn't bring her. The marshal did.
Ask her what she thinks now, Hannibal.
You done this, didn't you? You set fire to the whole place.
I said ask her what she thinks.
I think you're crazy. I think you're both crazy.
You still want to marry him?
Dunk, turn this wagon around and drive me home.
Sure, Mom.
Well, what are you waiting for? Let's go.
Well, Hannibal?
You was right, Della. I'm just an old fool.
We're going to have to start from scratch again.
Well, we done it before.
Hannibal, I fixed your favorite supper. Bean whole beans.
Oh, Della. Oh, you're some woman.
Now, Hannibal, you stop this. You got guests.
Oh, yeah.
Marshal, if you and Chester care for bean whole beans, we'd be proud to have you stay for supper.
My goodness, I ain't had none of them in years.
You'd be mighty pleased, ma'am.
You'll have to sit on the ground to eat them. I saved a few plates and things out of the house. I'll get them.
Oh, no, you won't. I'll get them. You've done enough work today, Della Bass.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed in Hollywood by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. The story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston and adapted by Mr. McDonald. Featured in the cast were Joseph Kearns, Virginia Gregg, Peggy Weber, and Sam Edwards. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. This is George Walsh inviting you to join us again next week when CBS Radio presents another story on Gunsmoke.
We have a few minutes left. Let's listen to Edgar Bergen and Mortimer Snerd.
Why, Mortimer.
Yeah.
Well, what are you doing here?
Well, I was just on my way over here, so I decided it wouldn't be out of my way to drop in on you.
Oh, I see.
You figured that out.
Yeah.
Say, why didn't I see you at my party last night?
Well, maybe it was because I wasn't there.
Well. Oh. But why?
Well, because it was too fur to walk.
Too fur to walk.
Yeah.
Well, you could have taken the red bus.
Yeah.
Why, it goes right to the door.
Yeah. Well, if I knowed I could have rode, I would have went.
I beg your pardon.
What did you do?
No. If I'd have known I could have rode, I would have went. Mortimer, you must watch your speech.
No, I can't. My nose kind of cuts off the view.
You don't want to be illiterate, do you?
I don't know. How are the hours?
Oh, I don't know. Now, maybe, Mortimer, I can help you with your grammar. Now let's take that sentence and pull it apart.
All right. You hold it down and I'll pull off its legs.
No. Now, I is a pronoun.
You is?
Oh, no. And take the verb, I ride, I rode, I have ridden.
Say, you give the bus company lots of business, don't you?
Now, pay attention. Ridden is the past participle of ride. Mm-hmm. Do you follow me?
No. I guess I missed the bus again.
Yeah. Oh, you poor boy. Sometimes I fear your mental processes become temporarily benumbed, putting you in the unenviable classification of borderline imbecility.
No. Oh, hush up, Alva. Look at all them wise guys out there with their mouths hanging open.
All right. Now let's get back to where we were.
Okay. I think I was standing right here.
Yeah. Now let's talk about your grammar and dangling participles.
Yeah, I thought something was dragging. I reckon it's my garter.
Yeah, I meant it. Mortimer, how can you be so stupid when the road to knowledge and success is made so easy to travel?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that. No. If I'd have known I could have rode, I would have went.
Oh.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.